Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. You can take your seats. Choir, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you abundantly. We want to welcome those who are watching online. Let the good Lord bless you together with us as we go through this time of the word. As I told you during the crossover night, we have entered a very good year. The year of great things. You know, Nathanael was brought by Philip to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there's no guile, there's no deceit." And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip came to you, I saw you under the fig tree." The man was shocked. He wondered. He said, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God." You see, revelation always changes people. And revelation from God always opens them to receive what God has for them. That's why you have to be very, very keen with this prophetic word. And then Jesus told him, he said, "No, Philip, you have not seen much yet. You have not seen. You are going to see heaven open and great things. You will see great things. You will see things greater than that, what I've just told you." God is telling you, church, that what you have seen from his hand is, you have not yet seen what you should see. It is this year that you will see the greatness. You will see his greatness. For me, I began to test his greatness. You will also test his greatness. Some of you began to test his greatness as the year was concluding. Praise God. You will see great things. So he told Nathanael, "You are going to see great things. The heaven is going to open and you'll see angels descending and ascending." Just look at that. Because I am the bridge between earth and heaven. Just look at that. Look at that. He holds everything by his word. It is the creator of it. Just look at that because of Jesus. Look at what God has done for us. Through Christ, we are bridged with heaven. Praise God. So, I've been praying and God has been guiding me about what we should learn at the beginning of the year. What we should learn. What we should learn. Really. So, you know, to make us really realize the great things that he wants to do in our lives, we should really be focused. Let's come to church. Let's listen to the word. Let's not take things casually. Don't take the word of God casually because Jesus does not waste words. If he says this year is a year for great things, when the heavens are open, you need to know blessings flow. When the heavens are open, revelations come. You begin to know. And when you know, you can't fail. When you know, you can't fail. There's a lot of revelation that we shall have this year. God will reveal to us many things. In every area. In finance, in business, in marriage, in many things. He will reveal many things to us. Praise God. Revelations. When the heaven is closed, I tell you, you will grow up in dark. Even in noontime, in darkness. But now, let's take an advantage. Let's take an advantage. Praise God. So that we can have great things. So now, I want us, one of the burden the Lord put in my heart to share with you very clearly is budgeting. Budgeting. Tell your neighbor, budgeting. Praise God. You know, you may look at it and think, "Oh, but budgeting is in the Bible." But we don't even talk about it many times. We only rely on what we got in school. Even what you get in school. Let me tell you, I was reading somewhere. Can you imagine in Canada? In Canada, 51% of the people, they don't budget. Can you imagine? So it's not really about even education. It's not even about exposure. It's about our habits. Our habits really impact greatly on our destiny. And we are going to look at that. It impacts so much on our destiny. Sometimes we blame God for nothing. We blame people for nothing. There are things we have failed to do, and yet that they are so crucial when it comes to our destiny. Your destiny is really your destination, where God wants to take you. Your destiny is God's plan and purpose for your life. Every one of us, in the Lord, you have a destiny, God's plan and purpose. So our habits impact on that plan and purpose so much. If we develop careless habits, we cannot fulfill our destiny fully. We will maybe realize it partially. God wants you to fulfill your destiny in full, completely. Praise God. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Now, before we look at the scripture, I want you to take note of the following. Wise financial stewardship require foresight. You need to look ahead. Require foresight. You are called to be a steward. And one of the things Jesus spoke much about is money. A steward is a manager. Praise God. Sister Carison and your husband. Now they're the latest couple in the house and the smartest. Clap for them. The latest and the smartest couple in the house. Praise God. You have to look ahead. Stewardship is just management, managing. God has called us to manage his creation. From the first day he created man, he gave man the earth to manage for him the earth. The earth was not given to the devil. It is man who gave the devil the earth. And that's why Christ came, so that he gives us the power to take back our earth. Tell your neighbor, take back your earth. Diligence. Financial stewards requires diligence. Diligence is being careful about details. Being careful about details. Women are more careful about details than even men. So many times, Reverend Rose helps me a lot, because sometimes she goes into detail. Me, I don't look at details. Praise God. But it's important to look at details. You see? Then also, wise financial stewardship require prioritizing spiritual needs over material needs. Spiritual needs. Spirit, it requires you to work with God. It requires you to put God first in every area of your finance. Sister Jane Francis, you put God first. First. Sister Rita, you put him first. It also requires encouraging savings for the future needs. Savings. Wise financial stewardship requires savings. Listen, church, there are things you cannot buy at once. You must keep money for it. Pastor Harriet, I want to be very serious with our church member concerning savings. We have two circles here. One for women, one is the main circle. I'm telling you, let's save. Let's save. That is wisdom. Whether you're a student, whether you're working, you cannot tell me how do students get money and they buy the things they want. They buy. How do you buy your dress? That money out of the dress, save some bit of it. Save it. That you should have bought with the dress. That money that you are buying with shoe. Buy a shoe, yes, but also save some bit. Praise God. Wise financial stewardship requires sharing with others, giving. Requires giving. But for you to do this effectively, you need to be someone who budgets. Budgeting, and you need to note this. Budgeting is the process of creating a plan for how to spend and save your money. A plan for how you can spend and save your money. How you can spend and save your money. All of you, you need to learn that budgeting. Even when they give you pocket money, budget it. Write down what you have received, you know the amount, and then how are you going to spend what you have received? How? Because it's so important. Very. If you just spend straight away without writing a plan, you will find that you have missed out very important things and you have got the ones that are not important. Oh, yes. Without budgeting, you cannot manage or control your money. You will not manage or control your money. You go and ask the border men. Go and ask them. The one who don't budget. Go and ask the mechanics. Go and ask mansions. You see, it is because they get money. But that money is not reflected because they don't plan for it. Budgeting allows you to plan for it. Praise God. Sometimes you find people like Chris Ochira, because he's an accountant, he's very strict with money. You say he's a mean man. No, he's not mean. He's a good man. But the good thing is he takes care of all the key important areas. Let me tell you, managing money is not easy if you're not disciplined. Managing before, it doesn't matter, even on a daily basis, what comes. Don't use it as it comes. At the end of the day, sit down and say, how should I work? How should I budget it? How should I have received this? How can I use it? On a daily basis. Sometimes you say, with us here in Africa. No, in Canada, half of the population don't budget. Can you imagine? And I believe a big number in the USA. That's why you see they live on credit card. A person dies leaving a debt that even if he was to live for another 50 years, he would not finish paying. Can you imagine? Here in Africa, you can die and they find that you have nobody's debt. You can die with zero balance, but at least you have not died with people's money. But with you, who are righteous, you will leave an inheritance to your children's children. That is a process. You are supposed to leave an inheritance to your children's children, to your grandchildren. Praise God. So without budgeting, you cannot manage or control money. You cannot control your money. You can't. Let's look at Luke 14:28. You need to know this at the beginning of the year, that so that from today you start it. Have a small notebook. Alex, I believe you have been doing some kind of budgeting, but now you are going to make it better. In fact, you are a tycoon coming up. Luke 14:28, NIV. Now, Jesus was talking about building a tower. Verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. You just look at this. Will he not sit down and estimate the cost? That is budgeting. That is budgeting. And there's something I want to add for you who are people of faith. What Jesus is saying here does not mean that you don't start anything before you get all the money. Break them in stages. That is budgeting. Break them in stages. And save for them. You know that the foundation, land will cost this. Finish that one. The foundation will cost this. Finish that one. Raising up the wall, the structure will cost this. Finish up that one. Putting up the roof will cost this. Finish that one. Closing them will cost this. Finish up that one. That's how you do it. Because it will give you faith. If you are going to wait for everything to be there, you are going to eventually, at the end, open a Pandora box of a lot of trouble. And you will get a lot of disappointments for nothing. Because if you focus on the foundation, you will have the faith. You will have the faith. Let me tell you, without a budget, you will not have the kind of faith that will move things for you. One day I was praying for a house many years ago, my personal house in the village. And I went to a nearby church and I sat there. I was in fasting. And I still remember what I said. I said, God, give me a house. So that I put a house. My land was near the road. I put a house like this one. See, I see people have put the house around. Let me tell you. Then I dozed. And you know, there's a tree in our compound, in my land. And I saw myself in a storied building, and I was looking on top of that tree. And I came out, I said, I was shocked. You see, God was showing me. Me, I was thinking of a house like the ones people have put around. You just put, then you put a roof, which is just a sliding roof there. Just like people like putting on in the trading center, just that, a sliding roof. They fear making things because it will cost more. But you see, when you begin to deal with God, and you ask him, what do you have in your heart for me concerning my home, concerning my business, he'll show you things that will scare you. And the first thing I saw that vision, I said, where will I get the money from? Because it was beyond my means. But God was saying, look, it is within your reach. If you work with me, it is within your reach. And that's why Jesus, when he went out to preach the gospel, he said, you people, the kingdom of God is within your reach. The rule of God, the government of God, is within your reach. His government, his rule, has everything connected with your life. His rule is connected with the resources. He controls all the resources on earth. He said, the kingdom of God is within your reach. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Change your mind about what society has taught you. Culture has taught you. Your clan has taught you. Your family has taught you. Change your mind about it and believe my plan. That's the good news. When the Bible talks about the good news, it's not talking about, it's just a description. It's not the content, a description of the content. A description. Believe what God says about A, B, C, D. That's what he told them. Repent and believe the gospel. You have believed so many other things. Why don't you give God a chance to believe to do his word that he has spoken to you. So that's what I God showed me a plan for my house. I'm not, of course, I put a house which is okay for us. Praise God. In the village, a very good house. But still, I want to put that one I saw. It will be better than that. That one is still in my heart. Because there's even space for it. I've left space for it. Praise God. So that is it. You just believe him. Go step by step. Go step by step. And you must budget. You must budget. It's budgeting that organizes you. That raises your faith. That helps you. Helps you to do that big thing that God has shown you. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. You see? Put aside, because this gentleman advised them, you people include this in your budget. I'm coming there, but make sure you include this in your budget, this program for helping the believers who are in Jerusalem. I'll be going to Jerusalem during this month, but include in your budget for your church, include this money in the budget, he told them. And every one of you be saving every Sunday. That is the first day of the week. Every Sunday, be saving that money on the first day of every week. That was Sunday. Every Sunday, be saving that money. Praise God. So budgeting your money is a critical part of successful financial management. Very critical. It can change the table for you. Can help. It's not just something that we can learn. You can learn all kind of things in school and you don't use it. You don't employ it. You can learn all kind of things in the Bible and you don't use it. It doesn't help you. But this one, if you have not been budgeting, even if you get 10,000 shillings a day, please budget it. Start today. Tell your neighbor, start today. If you have not been doing so. Praise God. So let's look at 7 reasons why budgeting your money is a must. Why it is a must. 7 reasons why it is a must. Number 1, it shows you where your money is going. When you budget all the time, you are able to tell where your money is going. Because it will always be appearing. Certain, you will keep seeing. It will help you to see where your money is going. And it will answer that question. You know, people, some people tell me, say, Pastor, I don't know where the money I work goes. I think the demons are just eating it up. Yeah, you hear people saying that, I work but I don't know where the money is going. Now you can know where the money is going. You keep a budget. Keep a budget. Each time you get money, budget it. I don't want to tell you, many of you don't work salary jobs where you get big money once in a month. No. Daily people get money. Even when you meet a friend you have not seen for 10 years and he gives you some good money because he's too happy. God has made him so happy. This year God will make people so happy with you because of his favor. And you will receive money. You will get offers. You will be put in programs where your name was not supposed to be there. When that money comes, some people, they only recognize their salary. They don't look carefully at what they get aside money. Don't do that from today. Don't. Every money that comes, recognize it. Even when you want to come and give in church, you can, throughout the week, if you are a serious person, keep it aside. Keep it aside. By the time you come here, you have something wonderful, something good that God will be happy about. Praise God. So, if you have a budget, you will track your spending carefully. You will track your spending. And it will help you from not overspending. You will track your spending, and that one will help you to cut overspending. And it will help you to determine whether you are spending in the right areas. Whether your spending reflects your priorities. Sometimes we spend money, but when they are not on priorities. Let me tell you, when you have a you don't have a budget, you can buy a very expensive shoe when school fees actually is on the way for your children. When school fees, because you just came across a very wonderful shoe. And you say, I think I need to take this one. I've been desiring this one for a long time. Because why? Because some liquid cash is around. Some liquid cash is around. But there are so many important things that are hidden, you will know them when the time comes. Oh my God. I wish I had kept this money for this. Praise God. Number two, it helps you identify waste. You'll be able to know the places where you are wasting money on. If you have a budget, you will be able to know where you are wasting your money. That place where you are wasting your money, the thing you are wasting your money on. It will help you to identify waste and to redirect your spending to help you meet your financial goals that are a priority to you and your family. This year of great things, God just wants to organize you. Great things don't just come. You have to be organized. In fact, they come, but you can disorganize them. Prudence. Great things can come, but if you are not organized, you can disorganize them. Number three, it helps you make financial decisions. Each time you are making decisions about money, all the time you are making decisions about money. So if you are keeping a budget, you always budget your money. It can help you identify whether you are spending too much in one area and less in another important area. It helps you. Then you can decide and say, no, I need to cut this money from here and bring this on this side here. You see? Number four, it helps you reach your goals. Budgeting is a tool that will help you to reach the goals, the financial goals, such as paying down debts. You see, debts are very dangerous things. If you don't have a budget which you follow, you will fail to pay debts. You will fail to pay debts. I'm telling you the truth. There is something that used to disturb us here in the church. Every month it was disturbing us. Then one day we sat with Elder Jacob and Pastor Ken, and we said, no, we must be saving money for this. Every Sunday we must saving. And that was the end of that problem. Praise God. That was the end of that problem. So, it will help you reach your goals, like clearing debts, saving for your the school fees of your children, for your retirement, for your car, for a house, if you have a budget. Each money you get, say, okay, let this amount, I will put this for fees, I'll put this for the house. Like that, I will put this for rent. That is it. It will help you. Number five, it keeps you from accumulating too much debt. It keeps you from accumulating too much debt. How? It helps you to save and purchase using cash. You save, you purchase using cash. So you avoid accumulating unnecessary debts. You see? You would have settled that goal. And also it helps you to cut cost. Because when you buy something in cash, it is cheaper than when you buy it on debt. You take it and then you begin to pay for it. Yeah. You spend more money paying the installment. For me, I was used to living by faith a lot. You see, the first car I bought, it was very interesting. One day, I was praying, and someone came to me, we were going home with Reverend Rose, we were on a border, and we were staying opposite a witch, a very terrible lady. So when we arrived one evening, the lady laughed sarcastically. You know how African ladies laugh. Who knows how African lady laughs? Fiona, tell us. Yeah, that is it. Clap for her. And then the lady said, Nakozino, motoka fuse, boda fuse motoka. I don't know whether I'm saying it correctly. Dikodes, how do they say it? Is it like that? Nakozino, boda fuse motoka. Then she laughed and entered the house. That these days now the bodaboda has become a vehicle. So I went with the Reverend Rose and said, God, you teach her a lesson. We want our car now. So I was coming to church. I met a certain Muslim man down there. He's still there. He said, Pastor, your church is doing very well. You now need a vehicle, a car. You have really, you have been a good pastor. Imagine a Muslim man is there. Now, he was now advising me. You know, people care. People are good in the heart. There are people who are good. They desire to see good in others. He said, now you need a car. You need a car like this special hires here on the stage here. You need a car like that one. So I told him I appreciated him. I said, but I will get even one better than that. So we began to pray about it. By that time we were praying. So I went to minister in a certain church in Tororo. And then God, when we were there, it was ending the ministry. I was there for some time. As we were ending the ministry, the Lord told me, sow a seed. I want you to sow a seed for your car. Can you imagine? When you go back to Kampala, I want to send this seed for your car. Send it, do it with ABCD. So I came back. In fact, the money I had was school fees. And the term was just beginning. So I said, what? But I've had God speak care. I had him speak. It was clear. So what do I do? This is the only money. You see. So we got that money with my wife, and we just said, we are going to show the school fees. So I came with that money in the church here. I was in my drawer there. I think I had not yet sent it where God wanted me to send it for a certain gospel work. Then I said, now what do I do? But I decided. But I think God did not want me to delay. So I came, I was moving through here. I got a little boy called Emma. His father used to be with us. And can you imagine? That boy was about 4 years old at that time. He said, Pastor. I said, yes, Emma. He said, Seed. What is this? Seed. Is God now using this little boy just to tell me that don't delay with that seed there? Can we imagine? So I came back. I went to the office. The boy followed me to the office after some time and asked me a question. You just look if you want to know it was really God. He said, Pastor, where is your car? And the boy knew I didn't have a car. Where is your car? In fact, my car was in that drawer, in that seat there. Can you imagine? Where is your car? I told him, I said, Emma, it is coming. My car is coming. My car is there. In fact, when I was preaching that following Sunday, I said, my car is there. Now, what happened is, after I sowed that seed, you know, that's why we have to prioritize spiritual things. It is important. You see, budgeting and all that is very good because it can help you. There are people who don't even have faith yet at a certain level. So before you get those kind of faith, which is, it is not, you see, there's a way that God wants you to live through wisdom. It will change your life. And there are times when you have to live by miracle. Praise God. It's a combination of that those factors. But it is easier to live by wisdom. That God, it is, that one is without stress. When you budget, you in fact close the door of many stress, the stresses that disturbs people. You close it. So what happened? I preached that my car has already come. Because after I sent that money, the following day, I was here praying. And I closed my eye. I was with a certain sister. I remember that lady used to work in our church office here. And as we were praying, I had a vision. In that vision, in fact, it was an experience. I had closed my eyes, and in front of me was my car. And the engine was running. And I could smell it was a petrol engine, a very good combustion engine. I could smell. You know when petrol burns well, the smell, there's a way the smell comes. It is nice. But don't go and smell it. It's poisonous. If there's no enough oxygen, it becomes poisonous. Carbon monoxide is there. So I smelled it. So I told, I said, Sister. I shouted, I said, Sister Lois, my car is there. And the following day, I went with Reverend Rose to look at the bone houses, the kind of, I did not even have 1 shilling to go to the bone house to look at the cars that we are going to buy. And we found one. To make the long story short, that week, someone blessed me with over 10,000, 10 million shillings? 16 million shillings. 16 million shillings. You just look. Someone I prayed for and blessed, and she went to work outside Uganda, and she came. She was blessed, and she was living in Jinja. She came up to here and gave me the money. So, there were so many things I wanted to do in the church. I said, no, this man I'm going to do with this in the church. And so I had only money now. What remained was a down payment for the car which we saw. Yes. So I went and I paid for that car. Remember, now it was 21 days from the time I sowed the seed. 21 days, I counted it. So they gave us the car. So we came with Reverend Rose driving to go home. We found the witch outside our door, opposite our gate. She saw me driving and she, what is this? She ran into our house. Can you imagine? Let me tell you, this year God will do for you great things that will shock your enemies and make them run away from where you live. Because it will be too much. There are two things. Either for them to acknowledge that the Lord has done it, or to say, and of course during those days, cars were very expensive. It was not for everybody. Praise God. Uganda was still very poor. Not many people. We thank God now for Uganda because people have prospered. I think, can we clap to the Lord for prospering our nation? Very many people can drive now. At that time, few. It was a preserve of the rich. Praise God. And God has made you rich. You see, so that is what God did. I remained with the two installments. Three. It was three. I remained with three what? I began to feel stressed. Now, I did not know much about, but I knew budgeting, but I was not doing it. So I had to fall back now on faith now. So I struggled to clear the first installment. Remaining two, I said, how will I finish these two? I said, no, I must sow. We had a radio program in Radio Uganda, then UBC now. I paid for that program. I said, God, I'm paying for your gospel. Give me this money. Do you know, I had a vision. In that vision, I saw, because you know when they give you installment, you leave a check with the muindi. So I had now two checks remaining. If you fail to pay, they can take that check and bank it when it bounces. Because you have to take money and return with the check. Then it's a criminal offense. So what I did, I said, God. So after sowing, you know what I saw? I saw two checks being returned to me in a vision. I was in prayer here. Two checks returned. And I paid the Indian man and all the two checks, meaning that I cleared two installments at once. And I got money and I went and I cleared the two installments at once. I came back with the check, like I saw in the vision. Praise God. So that is how the spiritual angle can help you. But God has given us an easier way. And that's a way of budgeting. You plan for it. You keep your money bit by bit. You keep bit by bit until you buy your car. Praise God. And even the way the Elder Yenja and his wife got their car, it was a combination. In fact, that one was purely an hand of God, an act of God. Did you save for that car? You didn't. They did not save for that car. It was their principle, the spiritual principle that helped them. You see? But that one takes, so not everyone. For me, I'm showing you the easiest way. Tell your neighbor the easiest way. So it keeps you from accumulating much debt because you save and you buy cash. Number six, it gives you a clear picture of your finances. A clear picture of your finances. A clear picture. A clear picture. Because all the time as you budget, you know what is there and you know what is still missing and you know what you have to do. So it becomes like a roadmap. Number seven. It provides peace, you with the peace of mind. Peace of mind. You want to have peace and not develop high blood pressure, which comes because of financial problems. A budget gives you peace of mind by helping you know exactly how much money you have at any given time. You know what is coming, you know what you have. It removes guesswork out of your spending. You know whether you can afford a purchase. If you cannot afford it, you then begin to plan, and you know when you can afford it, you see, by keeping something. It makes annual expenses, expenses that are always there, like fees, you know that every time, like tuition for your course, you know every time you have it, you need it. So it helps you to be stressful because you are put stressless, because you are putting something, you are planning, you are putting it all there. So let these 7 reasons really motivate you to start budgeting from tomorrow, from today, I mean, because even today money will enter your phone and your bank account. Praise God. So it will help you take control of your financial future. It will help you start with clear goals, and you know the plans you have to meet, financial targets you have to meet. A budget will help you do that. Let's look at this Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. When you have a budget, you will prosper. When you don't work on a budget, you will buy certain things in a hurry. You will buy certain things in a hurry. And before you know it, you have opened the door for poverty to come. Most of these people, let me tell you, there are people who are very wealthy, but their money comes in beat. But they spend it all out. They don't save. They don't put it in the right place. I was telling you about builders, mansions. I was telling you about border people. Border people, in fact, out of their border, they earn more than the owner of the border. They take away most of the money. I was with a bank manager some years back. I was considering buying a taxi, a kamunye. So he told me, he said, "Pastor, don't buy a kamunye. Transport business needs very serious people. If you were the one handling it, it's okay. That business brings a lot of money, but the people who operate it for you take away the more money than the owner." The bank manager told me. They take away most of the money. So now with them, they know daily money is coming. And imagine that is your office. You don't even maintain the car. You don't even give the owner the car to repair the car. You kill it. You know their wisdom that they will get another one. Can you imagine? Kill it also. But really, over time, it doesn't pay. It does not pay. If you work like that. So they each time they drink the money, they eat it, they do with whatever they want. They don't keep it. That money does not help them. But if they are to keep that money, the Jew, in fact, next time I want to share with you the way the Jews budget their money. Simple. But remember, they are the wealthiest community on earth. They are the most wealthiest. They are the wealthiest people. Jews. They are few, but the most wealthiest. They control banks and financial markets. But they have a simple way of budgeting their money. Simple. In fact, you write it down if you want. You are also a spiritual Jew. Number one is tithe, 10%. Number one, 10% is tithe. They remove their tithe, 10%. They prioritize the spiritual angle. 10% tithe. 10%, number two, 10% giving, 10%. Tithe, 10%. Two, giving, 10%. Basic needs at home and all that, 50%. That's already 70%. Investment, 20%. That's already what? 90%. Then savings, 10%. They save. They invest that money you put to improve your business. That is investment. Then 10%, the other one is saving. The Jews use that. They scatter their money along that line. This one for living, school fees is out of this, rent is out of this, doing this is out of this, like that, like that. But before long, when they come into the place with only a bag on their back, give them 5 years, they're the tycoon of the place. That's how it is with them. They come to a place when they have only a bag on their back, give them 5, 10 years, they're the tycoon. And people end up hating them, becoming jealous with them, because they're just diligent, like the way Moses taught them in the Old Testament. Praise God. So the plans of the diligent leads to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Haste leads to poverty. When you just pick money out of your pocket, money that has come, you scatter it like that. Today I want to eat chicken, tomorrow this. Oh, you just dip your hand in your bag and scatter it. It becomes a problem. Praise God. I want you to talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. This year we have to seek great things. Talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Bless us by your word. Bless us by your word. Father, help us. Give us the grace. Give us the grace. Have mercy upon us so that we can live a disciplined life. Mercy. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your mercy. I want you to pray for God to give you the grace to save, to budget. Let me tell you, some people think saving is easy. Eh? Saving is easy. It is not easy. You need grace. You need grace for God to give you the power to start that habit. Talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Some people are struggling with the tithe up to today. Talk to God about it. Some people don't give, they don't share. Talk to God about it. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. Ask him. Ask him to help you budget. Ask him. Father, we thank you. Make this year truly a great year for us. Make this year truly a great year for us. Make this year truly a great year for us. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in our finances. Father, help us to live stress-free by giving us the grace to plan through budgeting. Every money that comes, Lord, let us first put it in paper before and decide where it should go before we scatter it. Let your name be glorified. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. We are going to honor the Lord. Make him priority in our giving. In our worship, we are going to give tithe. Bring the tithe basket. Every other giving stands on the foundation of tithe. Even the one you are giving people when they're in need stands on the foundation of tithe. Because if you can't honor God with tithe, some people say, "Ah, me, I give God anything." Anything? No. You will lose if you give him, because it is connected with honor. He says, if I'm your father, where is my honor? What was he saying? He meant tithe. Ask your neighbor, say, where is God's honor? If I'm your father, if I'm your source, where is my honor? This year, let me tell you, this year, don't steal God's tithe. Don't rob God. Don't. This church must be one of the wealthiest church in Kampala City. Let's decide it. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, me, I've decided not to rob God this year. Every day of this year. There are some people who are not looking at the face of their friends. They are actually, they are determined to go and rob God. That's what he says, Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. That if I'm your father, where is my honor? The word father means source. If I'm your source for everything, for your life, for everything, why don't you honor me with 10% of what I give you? Return it to me. In fact, the truth is, we don't give tithe, we return tithe. You see? Because God has already said it is his. And he says, test me and see if the heavens, it is one of the things that keeps the heaven, opens the heaven. It opens the heaven. That's why many people testify about that when they started tithing, their lives changed. Why? The heavens opened. Can I see your hand if you are one of those people who say, when you began to tithe faithfully, you always see a difference in your life. A difference. Yes. Those ones who don't see a difference, they are not tithing. They are not. They have not known that they are not. But start. Praise God. Let's stand up and we give our tithe, then we shall give the offerings. Then we shall bring the offerings. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. But let's start with the tithe, then I will call for the offering. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let the tithe open for you the heavens. Keep the heaven open for you. Open for you doors. Many things. Many things. Don't let anyone deceive you. That, God doesn't care about tithing. It's about honoring him. It's about honoring him. No, it's one of the things that fights cancer. I remember the story of the first billionaires in America, dollar billionaires. The man who built a foundation. Rockefeller. Is it Rockefeller? Yes. It's Rockefeller. He was a keen tither and he was a deacon in the church. He got cancer at 48, 49. And the doctor said he was not going to live. Can you imagine? Then one day he sat down and he wrote out big checks, giving out that money to help the needy, to do a number of things, big checks. And the man lived up to over 80 years. From 49, over 80 years, the cancer disappeared. So be very, very careful about time. Because it attracts, if you eat it, he says, I will rebuke the devourer when you tithe. I will do what? Rebuke. Cancer is a devourer. Now when it comes, who will rebuke it? Who will rebuke it? Praise God. So let's give our offerings. The offerings are yours. God multiplies and gives you back. But the tithe, the windows are open. The blessing keeps flowing on what you are doing. And things changes. Father, bless your people as they give their offerings. Different offerings in Jesus' name. Amen. Choir ministers will give our offerings.